The Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners, regular meeting Monday, July 28th, 2025, is now in session. I call this meeting to order. We'll all stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will Secretary call the roll, please?
Commissioner Rochford here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
Commissioner Stith?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Here.
Commissioner Rao?
Here.
All present?
We have a quorum. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second the motion.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I have a motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of June 23rd, 2025.
I'll make a motion to approve with a caveat. Stephanie, we talked, right? So there's just a minor issue that you said you've corrected for
yes.
the, it had the wrong date and time and YouTube video.
Yep.
That's the only change I saw. But she's corrected.
Very well.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes for June 23rd with a slight correction. All those in favor of approving those minutes, say aye.
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 Minutes for June 23rd have been approved. We don't have any ceremonial, any announcements. No announcements. We'll move on to the public comments from the general public. I only have one signed up, and it's Rebecca Sherman.
Mr. Chairman and the board, Rebecca Sherman in Holiday Island. My only comment for in public comment is the fact that you have figured out that you do have to record all of your meetings. I would like to put a plug in for the fact that the video that has been placed on YouTube, and I understand the tech issue, but I would encourage you to readdress the financial aspect of that, because there's so much of a growing public area that hearing in those meetings where you can put a face to the voice. I've gotten really good, and I've been here a long time. I know a lot of voices, but new people don't. So to have that, where you can just click on it and it'd be there. And you might find that the open meeting laws that are currently being addressed might make that actually become that you have to do that. That's in Tim Griffin's committee. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment on restarting the video for meetings. And I think the board should consider it and put it on a topic for discussion in the work session on October 18th. Any other public comments? Any reports? Old business, to approve the regulation 2025-003, the code of conduct. Do I have a motion to discuss regulation 2025-003?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. We'll discuss the regulation 2025-003. My only thing was we made a slight correction to it. But otherwise, I think it's the same as what we have talked about in previous meetings. If there's no discussion, we can move to vote on.
No, I have a comment. I was waiting for you to say what your correction was. You just commented that you made a correction. Would you like to tell us what that is?
I don't have it.
It was removal. You got it?
There was a removal of a few words. Give me 1 minute. Let me find it.
It was in the third paragraph on the first page.
Basically, it was removing the what would happen if somebody breaks up your order that you know really can't remove somebody from the board just for doing that. So what we said was we'll follow the guidelines established in the Administrative Chapter 2, but not.
It stated the part that was taken out was to the following principles and guidelines under penalty of removal as stated in Chapter 2, Administration, Article 2. So that part was removed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, I have a comment or a question. I think what you wrote and why you wrote it is a good thing. My comment or question to insert here is will you make that be something that when people are running for office are aware of that? That happens come October here. And that at what point will the board, whoever that may be, come December, be handed that to have to sign that to agree to that? It's not, at this point, I don't think it's a part of the procedures, and I'm asking you to, that it become a part of HICID's type of oath of office.
I know we had talked about that.
Right.
We have, and I think we agree that all board members would sign it annually.
Right there. So if you look up here, as they are sworn in, then they will sign this. They will read it and sign it.
Okay, so you will make the people, when nominations come around, because this is an area where communication's pretty minimal.
It wouldn't cover those that are nominated, it's just those that have been elected to office, then they will sign it.
At the time of swearing in, when they sign their oath, they will sign this also.
And it does have a resolution number, so for those of us who choose to write and want to point that out, we would point them to this resolution that you're passing.
Regulation 2025-003.
Okay, all right. I covered it. Thank you.
Any other comments regarding this regulation? We'll take a roll call vote to vote on. David, do you want to read the document anyway, Chapter 2?
I could go down to how far you want to go.
Just to.
Because we have it on the board and it's going to be posted, so.
Yeah. Okay.
How about
I think just down to the first whereas, past that first whereas.
Okay. So this is the first reading since it's a regulation. Regulation 2025-003, titled A Regulation Amending Chapter 2 of the Code of Regulations of the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District to include the establishment of a code of conduct for the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners. Whereas the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners currently does not have a regulation which would establish a code of conduct. And I guess I'll just continue reading that.
Yeah.
And whereas it is in the best interest of all individuals to maintain respect and dignity while interacting with each other, staff, and public, and whereas the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners shall hold themselves accountable to the following principles and guidelines as stated in Chapter 2, the Administration Section, Article 2, Board of Commissioners Section 2-31, Structure.
Thank you.
You want to take a roll call?
Yes, we'll take a roll call vote.
Commissioner Roacher, yes. Commissioner Reagan?
Yes.
Commissioner Stith?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Regulation 2025-003 has been approved by the board for the first reading. New business. I have a motion to consider the action to approve the Astera proposal.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to discuss and consider action to approve the Astera proposal, which, for those that don't know, that's the proposal from a company that is a leak detection service that does it via satellite. We discussed it at the last meeting, and we'll discuss it again now.
I think I'd open up that if we're voting on this, it's option one, or option A for $56,500 for 1 year. I think we discussed at the work session, correct?
I agree, and I had a couple of phone calls concerning this after we met in our work session concerning this, and everybody said very positive, but one person raised a concern as to, are there provisions or restrictions within the bond itself as to how we can use the excess money that's been collected? And I guess that's something, I agree, we had a pretty much, it's in the regulations that we could use the excess we've collected, which now amounts to about $1.7 million, we could use that for improvements or adjustments or additions to the water system. What we don't know, or at least I don't know, is are there anything written in the bond agreement itself that would prohibit that? I'm not seeing the bond itself to see in the fine print all of the restrictions that come with signing that bond.
So, yeah, similar to that. According to the regulation we have, to your point, it even says unforeseen water situations, I think is another clause in the regulation. So, with that in mind, is this debt service, when we established this regulation, I don't know, maybe one of the previous commissioners can answer that as well. When we did that restricted line item, was that a self-imposed restriction line item, or did that line item that we've been paying into, so if it's a self-imposed, it has nothing to do with the bond. The bond says we need to pay it off by 2031, and anything we're doing to accelerate that schedule is going into this debt service account. Is that correct?
So the money we can use is after the debt service has been paid off, the money that was accumulated by the interest alone could be used back towards water. So if we, so that's why we set up the separate account. So as we collect the money and then we get closer to the end and we say, okay, we've collected enough, and then that still accumulates interest until we pay it off. That money that was accumulated interest was not paid by the people, so that money could be used towards a water project or anything water sewer related.
So that's why I'm not right. I think this is our own line item for financials that we self-imposed to try and pay the debt off early with the, to your point, the excess interest that's been accumulated. Yeah. But we also pay into that, right? I mean, it's not like just interest into that line item, right? Is it only interest? For $1.7 million?
The money that collected through the water and sewer bill is put into that account. And then as that account grows, of course, you gain interest off that. So that you have to focus on paying off the bond first, and then whatever interest accumulated from that money you collected from the people has to be used towards bond, and then the interest is actually used, can be used for water projects. Which we're hoping is very minimal if we do the math correctly.
So, Mr. Chair, in the essence of time and to move forward to your question, I think we originally had tried to plan on paying this maybe out of the major project funds. So I would say that we could still potentially vote to move forward with this $56,000. As a worst-case scenario, we would default, if we can't do it, to the major project line item. But our preferred path would be to see if we could pay it out, confirm that we can still pay it out of that line item. Mm-hmm. But either way, I would recommend we move forward with approving it and just determine
and plus we still how have, best to pay. We still have money left over in the capital improvement money from the beginning of the year, too.
So I'm just throwing it as a possible option.
I see what you're saying. You're saying, in any event, we have the money that we could pay for this $56,000.
Right.
Be it from the bond money.
Preferred.
And that money, as it's been explained to me, if our bond payment is $10,000 a month and we collect $12,000, we pay the 10 and the 2 goes in another account that collects interest. And since this has been initiated, we now have a balance of about $1.7 million in that account. I also think that we've got one CD that's coming up in October that's almost that amount of money. We've got two coming, but one, I think one of them would pay it off.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I agree that if we pass it and the bond has some fine print in it that says we cannot use those funds for anything, then we would have to go to a CD or capital improvements or some other way to pay for it. But I think we've all agreed that this is a step forward that we need to do just to find out where all this water is going. So do I have a motion to approve the ESTRA proposal as it's written for $56,500 for a 1-year contract?
I'll make that motion.
No second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the ESTRA contract for $56,500. And I believe we should take a roll call vote.
Okay. Mr. Rocher, yes. Mr. Reagan?
Yes.
Mr. Stith?
Yes.
Mr. Tingley?
Yes.
Mr. Rock?
Yes.
You know.
That's been approved. We will go ahead with the contract with ESTRA. And I don't know how soon they'll start, but the urgency was that we need to locate all these leaks before spring, before we start doing repaving, or we're going to be paving and then fixing water leaks after the fact. So that's the reason for the urgency. I have a motion to receive and approve the June 25 financials. Everyone's got an email to them, and I think you all have hard copies right now to look at.
I make a motion that we consider and approve the June 2025.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the June 25 financials. Is there any discussion? Over the board. I've looked over the financials, and it's obvious to me that in the next work session, part of the agenda should be to revise the budget. We knew this was coming because there's things in the budget. One, concerning the fire department, how we change the monies around. We need to address all those issues and revise the budget. And I think that's a good time to do it with the at our October 18th work session.
Are you meaning August?
Yeah.
You keep saying October.
Yeah.
Are we taking a break?
You know what? Because I wrote down 10.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I didn't miss something.
It should be 8. August 18th. We'll talk about it probably again in October. We'll get started on it in August. Okay.
I have a motion to discuss the status of the liquor license application.
Oh, we need to approve, we need to approve the financials.
Vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need, we've been moved and seconded to approve the June 25 financials. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Moving on, status of liquor license application for the clubhouse. Mr. District Manager, where do we stand with the liquor license?
Well, I received back the check I sent previously with more paperwork. That paperwork's been filled out and then mailed off again Friday.
Then we wait for approval?
Yep.
Is that correct? How long do you think that's going to last, Pete?
Last time, well, I got the check back in less than 10 days last time, and with more paperwork, got it all filled out with other stuff that I had to do. So
you said 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll have an email knowing something, but I've also been emailing them to keep on them.
Very well. Move on to the Beaver Fire Department interlocal agreement. I have a motion to make discuss the Beaver Fire Department.
I'll make a motion to discuss.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Open for discussion. We'll talk about the Beaver Fire Department interlocal agreement. I had a meeting earlier this week with, last week, with the chief of the fire department, Trey Hans, and the other people on the committee, which is Linda Grace in the city, Dave Dobrin. And we started a discussion about this Beaver Fire Department interlocal, and it seems somewhat evasive as to where it is and where we stand as far as its existence. But we do need that interlocal agreement signed by the city of Beaver. Rick, do you have any input on this?
So, December meeting, we voted on the interlocal agreement of $26,000. And then right. Commissioner Holland took the agreement to Scott, where Scott was informed him that they did not have the funds for that. So then Holland was in the process of negotiating the funds, what he could afford and what he could do. And then Holland, of course, resigned, and that's where we're at.
Have we received any fund from Beaver?
Not that I'm aware of. And if it was, it would have been for maintenance on trucks, unless they purchased tires of any kind or anything like that. We had a guy in the back.
Yes, sir.
Are you open for comments?
Sure. I assume it's directly related to the Beaver.
My name is Bill Padgett.
Can you turn the mic on, please?
My name is Bill Padgett. I spent 7.5 years on the Holiday Island Fire Department. I spent 5 years on the Rural Fire Board several years back. And I'm currently a city councilman with Beaver, part with Beaver, Town of Beaver. I also have two additional people that are councilmen that are here today as well. We pay Holiday Island Rural an $80 per household every year, and we have done that for, I've been here 20 years, I've been paying to the Rural Fire Board all this time. Holiday Island, they do serve us, and we provide them with the fire station over there to house the trucks that are in there. And also, y'all have that little truck in there that's leaking oil all over the floor. We have a big mess, but I'm not hollering about that, but that does need to be addressed.
That's a great truck.
Do what?
That's the parade truck.
Yeah, yeah. It's over there, and it's taking up, you know, one full space over there as far as we still have council meetings over there once a month. Now, you brought up Scott. The word we have from 2 days ago, Scott has resigned. So we're waiting on him to turn in his computer, his keys, and all that, and then we're going to have a special meeting to set up and get with the municipal league and get a hold of the county and see what we have to do to go forward. with the rest of our council.
Excuse me, who is Scott? I'm just...
Scott Leach. He was
the mayor.
Appointed from the previous mayors, and then we have an election back in November, whatever that last election was, and nobody ran against him, and so he maintained stayed the mayor. Anyway, my question is you're wanting money from Beaver. You understand that Beaver is a very small town. We don't even have 3/4 of a square mile in our area, far as the area that y'all are covering for just for Beaver. Now, you go out and go past the fire station today, maybe 100 yards, is the end of our city limits. Everything out to Butler Creek Bridge, out by the church on 187, is Holiday Island Rural Fire Department. Holiday Island Fire Department, Rural Fire Department also goes from the bridge, the south end of the bridge, all the way to Beaver Meadows, back into the bridge at Leatherwood on 23 North. Also, it goes, again, Rural Fire Department, and he can confirm that. It also goes all the way to 219, which is dang near the barrel. 219 is a road that comes in by Ball and Prior. And again, it goes to the Missouri line. So you're wanting money from Beaver, but at the same time, we are part of the Rural Fire Department, the district, and we do pay dues, just like all of those other people out there do. So the Rural Fire Department is about 10 times the size of our little town of Beaver. And Beaver don't have any money. We don't have a way of drawing any money whatsoever. And there was an agreement way back when that Holiday Island would take over the rural part of that. I was on board whenever we had an ISO rating, and we put up a water shuttle from the lake, from the river, and we set up a water shuttle for the city of Beaver, and ISO inspectors were there. We are at that time at number 9, as far as ISO rating went. We then went up behind the Sunfest, back up in that area, in that development area, and we set up a water shuttle as well. Again, that's when I was on the fire department. And we passed all of that, and we went from a 9 to a 6. And today, unless you can argue the point, we're still a 6, as far as rural fire goes. I don't know what you are over here at Holiday Island. You're 5. You're still holding a 5.
We're 5.
Okay, you're holding a 5. So anyway, you know, we do pay. And I keep seeing this stuff on social media that says we don't pay. Beaver's getting free, everything free. You're not. We're not getting everything free. We're paying just like the rest of the people.
I guess you're covered. The question is, if you're all paying, where's that money going?
To the rural fire department. You'll have to ask the rural fire department. They're the ones that guide it.
How much do you collect annually?
I don't know. Each household in the total rural, all that area I just described, is like $80 a year.
Okay.
Per household.
Each. Per household. And that was established. They raised that this year. They went from 60 to 80.
Yeah, 80 for improved properties, 60, I believe.
I believe I read it somewhere around $2,000 a year.
$2,000 a year?
I think it was around
total. Holiday Island rural?
No, just Beaver.
Okay. 2,000.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I appreciate your being here today, and I look forward to whether or not the money is irrelevant. What we need is a signed agreement. An interlocal agreement between HICID and Beaver, which we don't have currently. And I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation and agreement.
And whenever we receive it, and whenever we get rid of Scott and we get reestablished, then we might be able to sit down and be able to negotiate something out.
Okay.
But we are paying you. You're taking our money.
Well, you're not paying.
Yeah, so
you're paying into the rural fire district.
You bet.
Okay, but not.
Which don't have anything to do. What's that got to do with Holiday Island?
Well, that's what I was saying. You're not paying HICID directly. You're paying the rural fire.
Why would we pay Holiday Island directly?
I was clarifying.
The rural fire district and Holiday Island are one and the same.
Okay. Okay, that's right.
It's all the same equipment, it's all the same.
So whatever you do to us, you should be doing to the people all around the area, all the way to the state line.
I agree.
So, that's up y'all for that workout. And I've already talked to the foreign court, and JP Wright, Bruce Wright, JP, and I've had him on the conversation yesterday, and I will tell him what goes on here today. And he said he has backed us and will take us to help us with the foreign court.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Dick Dobrin.
Dave Dobrin, Holly Allen. My question to Bill is, there was a, back in November, they started forming up for a new building there.
Mm-hmm.
And then something went south, and they dragged up on it, and no one was there for a while. Then I see them back, but where did that money come from?
The Holiday Island Rural Fire Department pays for that, so I'm told.
What happened with the first contractor?
I can't answer that personally. I do not know. That is something you'll have to talk to the Rural Fire Board, because they have totally handled that project. Period. We Beaver people have not had anything to do with it at all.
So if there was
so
any overages?
You need to go before the Rural Fire Board and ask them.
Who paid for the overages on the first contractor that never finished?
I have no idea.
And how did that money come about?
Came through the Rural Fire Department.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David. Chief, can you shed some light on this?
Gary Martin, Fire Chief. I hope to maybe do some clarification without getting myself in trouble. The Rural Fire Department, let me back up just a little bit here. The fire protection for the city and suburban improvement district of Holly Island and the surrounding rural area is assigned to the Holly Island Fire Department, SID, by the Gorham Court of Carroll County, and the fire department ID number from FEMA is assigned to the Holly Island Suburban Improvement District Fire Department. Now, even though we are the fire department for the Suburban Improvement District, we have the responsibility for the surrounding area from, like I said, from Butler Creek to almost 219, just out past the monastery. So as far as they're concerned, that's all ours. The Rural Fire Board, I went and researched all of the paperwork that I have. There are two tankers that's titled under the Rural Fire Board. They do not provide any structural fire trucks. We have one truck that we use for our rural fire truck, because it's a four-wheel drive truck that was purchased. I believe it's licensed under the CID, but it was purchased years back by the Rural Fire, donated to CID. So that's kind of what they've done. They've also provided all the maintenance for those two tankers. The tanker at Beaver, which is licensed under the CID, they've actually spent well over $1,000 on it to provide new tires and adapters for those tires, because that truck is so old. But the actual fire protection is assigned to Holiday Island Fire Department by the Gorham Court of Carroll County and recognized by FEMA through our fire department ID number. The Rural Fire District Board, they collect the dues from outside the city of Holiday Island, and that includes the city of Beaver, those residents. That money is used to maintain those tankers and is also being used for the fire station. To clarify on the fire station, the contractor that originally was supposed to build that, I gotta be careful because I don't want to mess up on anything that's got some legal litigation to it, fell through on their part. We have agreed, or I say we, the board has agreed with another company to finish this building, and then they'll deal with the breach of contract later through legal reasons or legal means. But that money hopefully will be reacquired. But they are funding that entire project through the Rural Board. That fire station not only serves the city of Beaver, it also serves that part of our rural fire district on the other side of the lake, which manpower-wise comes from us.
Gary, how much money does the rural fire district collect annually?
That's a good question, because they receive about a 52% rate. I'm going to get in trouble on this. I'm trying to remember the last meeting I was at. I think somewhere around, you're going to have, I'll tell you what, for a definite answer, I would recommend getting with Mark Dean, the treasurer of the Rural Fire Board. I think it's somewhere around 40 grand, but I am not going to swear to that. I'm having to go by memory, and with me, that's never a good thing. But Mark Dean keeps very good records, and I believe she can give you a more accurate number than what I can. I'm just trying to remember from what I've seen on some papers at our last meeting.
Okay. Yes.
There's another choice here that you all have, or someone has.
Can you go to the mic, please?
Bill?
I didn't want to break up the chief.
What do you have to buy?
Of course, Inspiration Point is just up the road.
Right.
And if you're going to pick on Beaver, there's a possibility that Inspiration Point could come and cover us. And I don't know that we can make that happen, but that is a possibility. They can cover that. They go, Inspiration Point goes to the Butler Creek Bridge over there at the Baptist Church. So you're just talking about another 2 or 3 miles to get to Beaver. And so as far as, though, if you're talking about money and the 40%, the 50% of people, you know, if they don't pay their dues, you charge them. If you have to go out there and their house burned down, you're going to charge them. Is that correct?
Yes, we can do it.
Whatever that is. Yes. I don't know if you do that or not, but you can.
We have that capability.
Yes. At the same time, Inspiration Point, in the past, and I've been on a fire department in Oklahoma, and I was assistant chief over there for over 20 years. We've been through all of this in a little town called Inova. You can go out and you'll have to have at the next election. And you can make the county start collecting those dues, and it go from 50% to 75% or 100% or whatever the case. Now the ones that pay, we're happy to pay that $80. I don't have a problem with that. But anyway, you have another option that you can go out with the rural fire department and have an election and make that happen.
Thank you, Bill.
I can maybe cover the same thing. The operative word here is can bill. Do we bill, and have they ever billed?
I'll have to ask Mark on that.
Mark?
Mark, the treasurer for the...
Well, the way I understand the statement is Holiday Island has the option. We got the trucks, we got the people. Mm-hmm. We can bill. My question is, has Holiday Island, which I guess Martha wouldn't be in charge of that, do you or have you or...
In my tenure here, I've been chief since October. I apologize. I was appointed chief in October, and really, since then, we've not had a structure fire in the area where I've had to bill before, so I've not been in the situation where I've had to do something like that.
Right. Does that answer your question?
Well, that, I guess, covers immediate. Does anybody know, have we ever sent out a bill for a fire call?
Out of the city, you mean?
Yeah. That's the question right now. That's, I don't know, it's in something like $2,000 or something, the call billing rate? I don't know.
FEMA has a schedule. Right, that you can bill, and yeah. there is a cap on that. You can't just go out there and bill somebody $50,000 for a structure fire. But there is a FEMA schedule where you can bill for manpower, the different types of apparatus we send. You can charge for chainsaw usage. There is a rate for that, but on the FEMA schedule.
We don't know if Holiday Island has ever done that.
To my knowledge, like I said, since I've been here since October, I've not known anything.
Since the time I've been here, we've not either.
Yeah. But the state of Arkansas does allow for volunteer fire departments to bill for services especially if you have somebody that does not pay their dues, you can bill, them a rate.
If they had a fire on their property.
If they had a fire on their property, structured fire on John Q. Public's property, 123 County Road 456, and we find out, nope, they've not paid their fire dues, then we can sit down and figure a bill, manpower hours, truck hours, equipment hours, up to a cap, and I believe that's somewhere around $900 that we can send to them and or their agents, however it would be.
That's part of recuperating the expenses that you're now debating. If it has never been done.
We don't know that it's not.
I'm just saying, or can be done or should be done, that plugs into the rural fire district chipping in, whatever, everything you're talking about here, something that just better be looked into.
I agree.
And that comes off of the.
That's why we're having this discussion, is how much revenue should, are we owed that we should be collecting that we're not?
And that billing would go to the insurance, off of their insurance policy.
Yeah, but still, homeowners insurance has covered it.
Yes.
But has it been done in the past? I don't know, but I'll have a conversation with Jack Eaton, he might have a good idea if they've done it before.
About EMS?
I'm sorry?
How about EMS?
EMS is provided by the Eureka Springs Fire Department, and that is through the Western Carroll County Ambulance.
But you all respond first?
Yes, sir, we are dispatched along with the ambulance, and we are first responders. We are on scene with just a few minutes, of course, in the city, it's, you know, we get there pretty quick, in the rural areas, it takes us a little longer, but we, when Eureka Springs dispatched to medical emergency, we are dispatched with them, and they're getting, our on-duty crew, everybody is certified at the basic EMT level at least. I've actually got two paramedics that work full-time, but we're not a paramedic service, so they can't provide that treatment. We still give the basic services, which in the first few minutes of a critical medical incident is more important than the advanced stuff anyway. So, yes, we have very high qualified people responding on it.
But you could, my point is, you could bill even traffic accidents on Highway 23.
Outside of the city, there is a way. I've got some paperwork that I will be sharing with the district manager where we can do something like that. But it is a process. But yes, we can. Outside of high school, we can do that.
Outside the district.
Yes.
So in February, we came up with a billing solution, which we even had a company that would do the billing for us for, I believe, 10% of the cost.
21%.
21%. Yes. So we had this plan in process, and then somebody stood up and gave us false information about us not being able to do that. So then we stopped and had to go back and research on what we could and could not bill for. So when they go on any call, we can bill that person outside the district. So every time, and we had it all set up, the prices all came out with it and everything. And then now we are researching that again, now that we can do that and looking into it. As far as the rural part, if there's a fire outside of the district in the rural area and they have not paid their rural dues, the rural fire department bills them. If we provide aid to help the rural, we can submit a bill to the rural department and then get reimbursed for that.
Thank you, Chief. Any other discussion on the interlocal agreement? If not, we'll recess for an executive session and the district manager's office.
And why are you recessing into executive session? State the purpose.
We're recessing into executive session for the purpose of considering employment, appointment, promotion, demotion, disciplining, or resignation of a public employee.
You just read the whole list.
Yeah.
You have to give the specific reason.
We are discussing.
Which one? Somebody quit?
No.
Somebody getting a pay raise?
Possibly.
Do you have a specific reason? Openly meeting log says you only have what you just read. There's your list of reasons. And it says that you must state which one.
Where does it say that? I have a regulation right in front of you that says you must state.
Well, then read it.
Okay, it says, except as provided under subdivision of this section, an executive session will be permitted only for the purpose of considering appointment, promotion, demotion, disciplining, or resignation of a public officer or employee.
Next one.
The specific purpose of an executive session shall be announced in public before going into session.
And that's what I'm asking you. What is the purpose?
The purpose today for us to go into an executive session is to discuss the district manager.
Thank you.
Did we recess?
This meeting is in recess. The Board of Commissioners meeting is back in session. We discussed what we were going to do as far as the district manager, and we had a long discussion and agreed that no action will be taken. We'll move on to public comments. Any public comments? Commissioner comments. David?
Yeah, I have commissioner comments, and I see the mayor's here, so that's good. And Ken. So it's about the road task force. We met this last Friday again.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good meeting. It was held at City Hall, and I don't know if the recordings are up yet, Mayor, but the recording be posted to the city's website. At a high level, we talked about some of the things that would need to take place based off of our last joint meeting that we held on Saturday pertaining to the roads. And we had a few action items to look at, but at a holistic high level view, we think the right way to move forward with at least the roads is to develop an agreements in principle kind of document. Meaning, the task force is struggling to say what can we start attacking or taking off the plate for tasks without knowing how the board or the city council is actually going to vote. So what we've proposed and the draft versions are being drafted are taking some of the bullet points that we came up with of some milestones, for instance, such as looking at the city council discussing implementing a property tax with a 3% millage, or three millage, for instance, as an example. What would that do? And because correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, but that doesn't require a vote.
Right.
So, but to get it done, up to $5 million, but to get that done, it would need to get voted or sent to the county to start collecting it by October. Is that the right date? Yeah, so October. And therefore, the city wouldn't see even the revenue stream until October next year, you know. So what we've done is we have that as a task. Another example is we talked about as a milestone goal of dedicating perhaps 100% of the roads to the city on or about 1 January of this year, or next year. In doing that, the HISA would still maintain the personnel, the equipment, everything else. And the interlocal agreement would then be drafted based on that 100% dedicated roads. And we're proposing that a transition year of 2026, meaning during that year, the city council will kind of solidify some of the budget they've already been working with based off three millage, and using that to look at what kind of personnel staffing they would need. Mark Barnett, the road supervisor, is putting together a list of capital assets we have. I know
updating this list we do.
Updating it, exactly. And then maybe potentially looking at a January 2027 to do a transition. One of the other items that we still owe that's come up is where does the road department building reside? I talked to Rich this morning and said that the task force would want to look at maybe having a boundary survey done for the properties of the road department as well as the water department, just to get 100% factual, is anything in Missouri? If it is, then perhaps one of the things we talked about is leasing the facility. The city would pay, you know, a lease rate to ICID. Yeah. So there's still a lot of details that need to be worked out. But what we wanted to do is get this agreements and principle document. We'll finish it up. Hopefully we'll have it by the next workshop, our next month's workshop. I think we can meet that as a draft document to share. I would bring it in our workshop. They would bring it into theirs. We could talk about it. If we get some of the feedback from our respective boards, then we would want to run it through legal and say, here's what we're proposing. Can you put this in a legal document for us? Now, I'll turn it over to the mayor and see if I missed anything.
Oh, that's it. Thanks, it's getting hard to get up even from a chair. Not necessarily anything to add. They've pretty well covered it, but an agreement in principle is a document basically that states this is what we want to do, that we both parties agree that this is what we want to do, but we have a lot of details to work out yet, and whether we follow through with that agreement would be conditioned on the results of a lot of that fact-finding that had to be done yet. But I felt that this, kind of a document is necessary because of timing issues. Like David alluded to, if we're going to do it within, if we're going to start doing any real action, taking any real action next year, then the city council has to know that by October, so that they can pass the tax millage and notify the county of the tax millage. If we miss that window, then we miss another whole year. It's not like we can say, let's pick it up again in December. We really miss an entire year because it would put off collecting that tax revenue. So that means we have some work to do between now and then. I would recommend one little change in sequence of operations. I think that if the committee can come up with something that we think represents what the city council and the board of commissioners are thinking, I think at that point we would send it to the respective attorneys to turn it into a more legalese document, and then bring that attorney review document back to the respective councils and boards for formal approval. But we would hope to get that done within the next couple months for sure, so that we could have that signed agreement in principle by October, when the city has to take the first formal action. In the meantime, we're going to continue to investigate things like, what are all the assets, consider things like personnel issues and stuff like that.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Dan, you said, I think you said 3%. The city can go up to 5 mils, can't they?
Right. Okay. We don't necessarily want to put it all against
the
roads.
The capital.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Back to Commissioner comments. The only comments I have are, I believe on the 8th of August, there's someone coming from a sign company to talk about the lighted sign at the clubhouse. I don't know if the board wants to call a special meeting to entertain this person, or if we just want Rich and Mark to entertain him and you'll get back to us, or what's going to happen?
I'm going to be on vacation, so I would like someone to be there.
I'd be more than happy to be there, but if two commissioners go, then it's a meeting.
Yep.
So do we want to call them? Do the rest of the commissioners want to be involved in it?
No.
If not, I will go and
scope it out, but if two of us go, then it's...
Yes, and you could call a special work session and just go up there, and all you, I mean, all you got to do is just carry a tape recorder with you while you watch the display.
Wouldn't that be an easy way to do it, just call a special work session?
I would just come here prior to...
That way there's nobody bellyaching later.
Yep.
That they didn't get asked.
Yep, and then that way they can just, all you got to do is carry a tape recorder with you and hit record.
Very well.
Any other commissioner comments?
Yes, I have some comments, and I talked a little bit with Rich on it. It concerns the golf course. I've not played golf since this operation, but I do go over there about every day, and I take my cart and I drive around and look at the course and watch the guys play golf and that sort of stuff. So I've been there, you know, not just lately. In the last week, I've started doing that. And what I've noticed is we spent all this money for fairway water, and as far as I know, I've only seen one time that they had a sprinkler on I'm trying to remember what hole that was on, that they were watering the fairways. The tee boxes, you can't hardly, I haven't been on the tee box to put a tee in, but I know what people have said to me. They can't get a tee in the ground. They mowed the tee boxes off really, really close. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get those water, we're going to lose that grass. And the same way with the fairways. I mean, here we spend all this money, and we're not watering the fairways. If you go down the nine-hole course, and like Rich said, it's beautiful. And Randy even said this. It's beautiful. Now, you know, we have not watered up there for some reason. We're not turning that water on.
Yep.
And we spent all this money to do it. And then we're trying to charge some of the out-of-town guys $72 to play.
And that's one thing, yeah, right there. That's one thing we are going to have to look into next year, too, is the green fees. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
And then we had a pump go down there, so they're kind of intermittently watering, and then that pump, it should be back this week and hopefully installed, and then we can get really going. And, of course, like always, it always happens in the heat of the season, I swear.
But that's I just wanted your comment on it.
Yep.
And you know, we need to water the tee boxes. We need to water the fairways.
I exactly. Mean,
they're watering the greens, but so the pump, evidently the pump's working.
They're still hand watering the greens?
Huh?
Are they hand watering the greens?
No.
Or they get sprinklers on?
No, they're running the sprinklers.
Okay.
And some of them.
A couple of times a day.
Appear to have some sort of a fungus or something.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, we are. The greens do have a fungus going right now that he's trying to treat.
I guess that's my, you know, I just catch a lot of flack. Every time I go over there, somebody's always stopping me and telling me about this, and I just, you know, I mean, it's relentless.
Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner agenda scheduling. For our work session on August 18th, and regular meeting will be August 25th. On that agenda for the 18th, we need to start working on revising the budget, which we've known for some time. And we will discuss the sign at the clubhouse, because we'll have met with that person. We're going to start reviewing some of the regulations, the heights of regulations, and we are going to discuss in that work session the fire hydrant flushing, which is part of our fire department task force that David and I and the chief are working on. That's pretty much it for the agenda for August.
YouTube was. The discussion of putting the YouTube back on too, well, for the work session.
Oh, yeah. On the agenda, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, for the work session.
Also, Rich, for the work session, can you add the resolution from the city that they've already executed the...
Yes.
It's the updated roads...
Will that be in the work session or the regular meeting?
Well, I want to talk about it at the work session to make sure everybody's aligned, and then we can vote at the... But it's an update to add the new roads that we're planning on doing for next year.
Good idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Very well. Anything anybody else wants to add to the agenda for August 18th work session? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Have moved and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? This meeting's adjourned.